All right, let's look at Scripture together and find out how it is that I can be so bold and presumptuous as to say that I know God's will for your life. Because God's will for your life is the same as God's will for my life. And so that's somewhat how I know. There are other things I don't know, but that we can trust in. So John 6, and we're going to start with verse 35 and go to 40. Reading from the Scripture, "Then Jesus declared, 'I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me, and still you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day.'" So we get a glimpse of God's will. God's will is that none of us should perish. And we'll pray for those folks. Traveling mercies and work. So, kind of a glimpse. All right, so that's God's will for us, but what do we do? Well, I think we do what Christ said in the first portion of that scripture, and he says, I came here to do the will of my Father, not mine. I've got to think about that, and I think we all have to think about that when we approach life, that we're coming to do God's will, not our will. Because I'd really like to impose my will on people if I could. You know, it's fun sometimes when you're playing basketball and you get somebody to do something and then you go and score. They have sort of given in to your will, and it's kind of nice. It's kind of fun. But in daily living, we are to approach it like Christ did. I'm not here to do my will. I'm here to do God's will. That's reemphasized in several other verses, if you'd like to jot some down to look at them later on. John 4:34, Christ saying that, not to do mine will, but the Father's. But it's interesting to me that if we look at Scripture, and we look at Luke 2:49, and this is striking to me, hopefully striking to you. You know, Christ is in that story of his life where he's stayed behind and the rest of the family's gone back and he's in the temple. And Christ's words, some of the first words, at least in the Gospel of Luke, that he speaks, he says, "Why were you searching for me? Didn't you know I would be in my Father's house?" And the King James Version says, "I needed to be about my Father's business." So again, it wasn't Jesus' agenda nor anyone else's. It was his Father's business. So we have that in Luke 2. And if you go to Luke 22:42, some of his last words that Christ spoke. Luke 22:42, "Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." We really need to get that in our hearts and spirits. If Christ has to say that, we need to say that. Gives me greater appreciation for his humanness as well, because he was tempted in all forms as we are. Scripture tells us that. And so he was tempted, just like we are, to do it our way, to do it in my energy, the way I would like it done, according to my will. Well, we can get even more specific about God's will for us. So, again, taking your scripture, we look at Ephesians 1. And we'll start right with the first verse. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. The salvation, the grace. But if we now look at 1 Thessalonians, going a little deeper into the scripture. 1 Thessalonians 4, 1 through 8. This, for me, is where the rubber hits the road. And this is telling me, at least, what God's will is for my life. Finally, brethren, we instructed you how to live in order to please God, as in fact you are living. Now we ask you and urge you in the Lord Jesus to do this more and more, for we know what instructions we gave you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. It is God's will that you should be sanctified, that you should avoid sexual immorality, that each of you should learn to control his own body in a way that is holy and honorable, not in passionate lust like a heathen who does not know God. And in this matter, no one should wrong his brother or take advantage of him. The Lord will punish men for all such sins as we have already told you and warned you. For God did not call us to be impure, but to live a holy life. Therefore, he who rejects this instruction does not reject man, but God, who gives you his Holy Spirit. So, heavier stuff. But it again is telling us what God's will is. God's will for my life is for me to live it holy and pure. That's God's will for me. And a little more specific, if we just look across the page from 1 Thessalonians 5, and we go 12 through about 16. Now we ask you, brothers, in respect those who work hard among you, who are over you in the Lord and who admonish you. Hold them in highest regard in love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. All these things are God's will for us. All these things require me to do something, to be active, to not just passively sit back and just bless me, Lord, that I need to do those things. And although perhaps in your Bible it says final instructions, there are a lot of instructions prior to this, and all of it is God's will for us. Things that we need to do, things that we need to keep ourselves pure and holy with. Not easy things, but if we continue to trust and obey, like we sang about, trusting and obeying, that will be good. When we remember through the storms of life, it is well with our soul, then we can abide in God's will. Maybe some, and I too would be of that bent, that I'd really like maybe to know more about God's plan for my life. And I've got the God's will here But there is no real scripture that says God's plan for Arlen.
God has a plan. He had a plan for me when this day started. And it was a perfect plan. I make all the right decisions. I follow all of Christ's things for me. And it's pretty cut and dried. But that was God's plan. I am part of that plan. And I didn't necessarily follow it all. You ever done this? So, that straight line became all of this. Okay? This was me responding to the alarm clock at the first time. This was my yes, this was my no. And so I probably went this way, and then I could get off track of God's perfect plan for my life. I truly believe that God knows my day. I believe he knows your day. It says it in Scripture. You know, sparrow doesn't fall to the ground. You are much more important. He cares about your whole day. He knows from beginning to end of my day the possibilities. Now, if I follow him, I can stay, what do you want to say, following his plan. Some people get a little concerned. And they have a time here, and they think, oh, once I get out and make poor decision, poor decision, poor decision, poor decision, poor decision, I'm lost. But God has a plan to get me back. All right? So I share that in that sometimes I've been there, and perhaps you have been there, we think, I have really goofed this up. How can I ever get back here? God, in his infinite wisdom, has other things going to happen to bring you back. So never, ever fear that you're going to stay out and away. How does that work? I don't know. Except I have played some chess in my life. Now, those of you that have played chess perhaps can resonate with this a little bit better than others. But even in checkers, you play against somebody really good, you make your first move and they go, I gotcha. I only made one move. Oh, no, no. I gotcha. How is that? Because chess masters know what this move means because he can counter with that, because then you're going to have to counter with this, and on down the line to come out where they win. Now, I think God is always the chess master or the life master, and he's saying, Arlen, you can still win. You can still win. Do this, do that, and come back here. Unfortunately, I probably did that just for a small thing. I left a gap here because sometimes in my life it's been like I'm sort of stagnant, like I'm making no decision. Well, on the simple side, it's because maybe God's waiting for someone else to catch up. Again, on the lighter side, but hopefully an example. I was getting ready to go somewhere, and I'm doing a Sudoku. So I'm just, you know, trying to buy time, kill a little time before I had to go to this thing. And I'm thinking, well, I could go, I could be there earlier. Well, what am I going to do if I get there? I'll just do a little bit more. And finally it strikes me, oh, you better get going. So I get in my car, and I back out, and I get down the driveway, and I look, and here comes another car. Well, it's Ben coming home early from work. And if, you know, I hadn't taken those whatever it was, a minute and a half, I would have missed Ben to catch up on his day. So I'm thinking that sometimes, not to go across the board, but sometimes things happen and you just wait a little bit because a blessing is coming. Doesn't have to be a super thing, it doesn't have to be a great thing, but just follow the leading. Now, I wish I would have, you know, saved the world because I waited, but I didn't. But I did get to spend some time with my son that day. Holy cow, how good's that? So, be it short, be it long, whatever. And so, with God's will, I would encourage all of us to hang with that even stronger than God's plan. Because God's will is for none of us to be lost. God's will is for us all to be saved. If we look at Matthew 18, it talks about children, little children. It is His will that none should be lost. And so think about that with Bible school coming up or other neighbors that you have around yourself, something like that. It is God's will that none should be lost. So it is up to us to be the hands and feet to go out and help carry out this will. Maybe that's your plan for that day or my plan for that day, but we should be very concerned about God's will, be diligent in trying to carry out God's plan. But if you come to the end of the day and say, gee, what did I do? What did I do to change the world? So what? You didn't change the world, but did you continue in God's will? Those songs, Trust and Obey, mean something. Trust and obey because perhaps today wasn't the big marking point, but it was that foundation of this day that builds for tomorrow or the next day or on down the line where you will be strong enough or you will be in that position to really help someone in God's will for their lives. So, now, you know God's will for everybody. How are we going to help make sure that they know what God's will is for them? That's our question. So for us, let's stay in God's will and let us be able to sing about His goodness and mercy. And that's why I wanted to pick this last hymn for us to sing together, 282. If you'd stand with me.
No matter what happens, walking through the valley of death, no matter what happens, going through difficult times, storms in our life, we're going to trust in Him and goodness will follow us.